Welcome to Daily in the Word. Hi, this is Kerry Schmidt, Director of Striving Together Publications. If you're interested in biblically sound and practically relevant resources for spiritual growth, I invite you to visit strivingtogether.com. At Striving Together, we're laboring every day to produce books, curriculum, music, and local church resources that will encourage and equip believers to live their faith. From all over the globe, we're hearing stories every day of how God is changing lives through these resources. Striving Together is committed to conservative biblical doctrine and values, and we're committed to supporting local church ministry. Visit us today at strivingtogether.com or call toll-free 1-800-201-7748. Again, that's 1-800-201-7748. There's a lot changing in our world, and today with Dr. Paul Chappell on Daily in the Word, we're going to take current events and hold them up against the lens of Bible prophecy and understand the times better. Stay with us. The Bible says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love and of power and of a sound mind. It's easy to watch the evening news, even as a Christian, and begin to fear and wonder and question. But when we take current events and hold them up against the lens of Bible prophecy, we're reminded once again of God's power, God's sovereignty, and we're reminded that we can live with confidence and trust in God. Welcome to Daily in the Word. I'm Kerry Schmidt, your host, and this program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California, and president and founder of West Coast Baptist College. We are airing a new series entitled Times Are Changing. We did listen to this series earlier this year, but we're re-airing it because it was very well received and because Pastor Chappell has a new book that's a companion to this series. The series is entitled Times Are Changing. We're going to carefully study Bible prophecy, and especially in light of current events and the things that are changing in our world. And the companion book that comes along with this series is entitled Understanding the Times. I'll tell you more about it after today's program. But first, we're going to hear the final message in this series, 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 11 through 14, the admonitions of Bible prophecy. In light of all that we've studied in the past few weeks, how should we live today, and how can we live confidently in the promises of Jesus Christ? Here's Paul Chappell.
Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also. And you see, we are challenged in the Word of God, in light of His coming, to be steadfast in our responsibilities and steadfast in our remembering of the Lord Jesus Christ. A challenge to steadfastness. Notice secondly, if you would, a challenge to sanctification. Now, God not only wants His children moving forward and living for Him, but He also wants us to be living a life of sanctification. Now, 1 Thessalonians 5 speaks of this. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me speak briefly about the doctrine of sanctification. There are two aspects of it. First, there is what we would call positional. Positional sanctification speaks of my position in Jesus Christ. That is, when I accept Jesus Christ as Savior, His blood is applied to my account, and positionally I am forgiven. My sins are as far as the east is from the west. His Holy Spirit seals me until the day of my redemption. Once again, I am sanctified by God. I am set apart by God. How many of you are thankful today that positionally you have been set apart unto God? Amen. You are sanctified. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. But beside my position, there is the practical matter of sanctification. That is my daily walk. It is not just a matter of being a member of the family. It is a matter of acting like a member of the family. You are a member of a family today, but there are some people who never even recognize their family. They never have any interaction with their family. God says, I want you practically to interact with me. I want you to be growing closer to me. And so sanctification is a doctrine in light of the coming of Christ. Now, the modern church knows little of sanctification, cares little for sanctification, practices little in the matter of sanctification, and some churches mock the very doctrine of sanctification. And yet God calls us to live a sanctified life. He wants us to be sanctified first from this world system. You've read it in the Bible. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. God says all the things that are of the world are to be avoided. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. Now notice this world system in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. It's in your notes there. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. Did you catch that? Once again, we're going to be challenged in light of the fact that one day we're going to gather together unto him. All right, verse 2. That ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, neither by letter that is from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day, speaking of that eternal day beginning with the rapture of the church, that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Of course, this speaks of the Antichrist. And the Bible speaks of how the world will change before the Antichrist takes his place in power. And a few significant events are mentioned in this text. First, the Bible says, before the Antichrist will have his power, there will come a falling away from the truth. There will be people who were in church who are no longer in church. But more than that, people who said Jesus Christ was the only way, who begin to equivocate, compromise, who become pragmatic and buy into the pluralism of the day and buy into the idea that all religions lead to the same place. It is a falling away, verse number 3, from the truth. The Greek word for falling away, apostasia. We sometimes call it apostasy. And there are churches today who are more concerned about saving the whales than they are saving souls. And there are churches today more concerned about climate change than people changing. And so now we have churches today who have long stopped preaching the gospel, and many today who are members of the World Council of Churches this week, I read in the Associated Press, are going to be ringing the bells of their churches 352 times to signal the need for climate change. By the way, this church is not and will not ever be, according to our Constitution, members of the World Council of Churches. The Bible says, what? Know ye not? We're to come out and be separate. We are not to walk together except we be agreed. And so we're not going to be a part of any organization that would include Taoist and Buddhist and Baptist and every other kind of a group that wants to ring bells concerning climate change, but won't ring a bell to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. Now, the simple fact is this. There's an apostasy. Many of these churches were paid for by people who believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But now there's been a falling away, and that falling away is happening even to this very moment. A falling away from truth. And as truth is left behind, there will come a one world gathering. There will come a one world leader who will establish himself, according to this passage, as an object of worship, so that he as God, verse 4, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And by the way, the globalization, the positioning for such a time is well underway. We studied several weeks ago the revived Roman Empire known as the European Union, now 27 nation members of the European Union. The European Union will vote for the first time in their history for a president. The significant fact is simply this, that the region known as the Roman Empire that is now coming back together, by the way, as the euro is going up, guess what's going down? The dollar. And as America is weakening spiritually, morally, and economically, the global system is strengthening day by day. And as the global system is strengthening, there is coming a leader to this organization whose worldwide influence is yet to be known. The simple fact of the matter is we do not know who the Antichrist will be definitively. We simply see globalization on the rise, the Roman Empire on the rise, now for the first time in world history, electing their president this week. And God says, I want you to shun this world system that leaves Christ behind and embraces pluralism in the name of tolerance. I want you to shun this world system that continuously looks for a one world leader. God says, I want you to be sanctified from all of that, and remember that you serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and though you may be an outcast because you believe in Jesus Christ, stand up for Jesus as a soldier of the cross of Jesus Christ. Be set apart from this world system. Secondly, we're to be set apart from this world's sin. You see, if we're going to be sanctified since Jesus is coming, then we're to be set apart from the sin of this world. Again, that's the practical sanctification. This past week, I took my wife into the emergency room. She's developed a blood clot, and I appreciate your prayers for her. The radiologist said, get over to the ER as quickly as possible. And so we did, and we sat there for probably 2 or 3 hours waiting for our turn for our appointment. And as we were waiting, obviously, and I never have quite figured this out, why they take so many sick and hurting people and then their caregivers that are with them and put them all in the same room. And you just kind of wait there, sort of like the man at the pool of Bethesda, hoping for an angel to open the door. And you're sitting there, and besides my immediate concern for my wife and her health, my other concern was for me because of all the germs in that room. People are very sick, and I won't get into all the demonstration of it, but very, very sick. And a lot of people had on yellow masks. I could not find where those were being dispensed. I wanted one. The only thought I had in my mind was to sit near the door, thinking that when the door opened, the wind would come and blow the germs away from me. I'm a new grandfather. You have to get the context of this. I'm thinking, before I can hold my grandson, I need to take a shower. I need to spray disinfectant spray on my body. I need to gargle scope. I don't want to bring the H1N1 virus to him. People were having sickness all around me. We get up and move, and finally got by the door. And I was doing everything I can in the midst of, by the way, visiting many members of our church, helping one of our members out to his car in a wheelchair and all that type of thing. I was doing everything I could to try to avoid germs. And I got to thinking about that this week. Why is it that many times we'll do everything we can to avoid germs that cause sickness, but we don't guard our mind and our heart from the temptation and sin that will ruin our lives? Why will a mother argue with a nursery worker, making sure that the toys are properly disinfected, and then let that same child a few years later watch MTV? Why do we not come to the place of understanding there is a devil, there are demons, there is sin and temptation that hurts people and hurts the testimony of God, and therefore we must be watchful, 1 Peter 4:7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer, James 5:8. Be ye patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. We must be watchful, we must be godly, Titus 2:11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation unto all men hath appeared unto all men. What does it do? It doesn't just save us. It teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. My friend, God says the same grace that saves us is the grace that motivates us to live a godly life in this world, and that we are to be sanctified as we look, verse 13, for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of that great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Romans 13:11, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Now you listen to me. If you call yourself a Christian and you believe that Jesus Christ is coming again, then what manner of person ought ye to be? And how should you be different tomorrow because you believe that Jesus may come? Oh friend, it's worthy of our thought and consideration. Look at 1 John 3:3. Don't listen to me. Listen to the word of God. 1 John 3:3. Every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. Do you have that hope in you? Do you believe if the rapture came that you would be with the Lord? Then purify yourself. Sanctify yourself. Repent of your sin. My friend, if you have to come to the altar every day to confess of thoughts and deeds that are wrong, if you've got to spend extended periods of time in prayer and Bible reading to get some things right, do whatever it takes. But don't hear the trumpet sound and have your life emboldened in sin, my friend. Sanctification. A woman was one day watching a silversmith as he worked. And he was putting the fire to the ore. And the impurities were going one way and the silver was coming another way into a basin. And the woman was intrigued. And she watched the silversmith and finally she said to him, she said, "Now, how do you know when the silver is fully refined? How do you know when the burning is over and now the refinement has taken place?" He said, "Oh, that's easy." He said, "I know that the refining is over when I can look into the silver and see my face. And you will know that the refining is over, and you will know that the repentance has made its work when you can see the face of Jesus Christ through your life, when Jesus is seen in your life. And there must be a desire to live a watchful life and a godly life, and thirdly, may I say, a loving life until Jesus comes again." 1 Thessalonians 3:12, "And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another." Verse 13, "To the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints." This is Love Your Neighbor Week. This is a time to say, not only do I want to put off that sinful life, but I want to put on that godly life. This is a part of my sanctification to the end that I may be blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be found faithful for Him at this time. Oh, friend, there's a challenge given in light of prophecy that we would be steadfast. There's a challenge given that we would be sanctified or set apart. And let me share with you thirdly and finally, we would be remiss if we did not mention this challenge. There is a challenge this morning to salvation. You can be a member of Lancaster Baptist Church and not be saved. You can be a member of any church and not be saved. You don't get saved by joining the church. You get saved by receiving Christ as your Savior. Oh, make sure, my friend, that you're ready for that day when Jesus comes again. That you will not be left behind, but that you will be with Him in glory. Now, to be saved, there is a required decision. There's a decision that's required in order to be saved. And we read about it in John chapter 3. And you're familiar with the story as Jesus spoke to Nicodemus, a man who had religion but did not have a Savior. And Jesus said to that man in John 3, 5, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again." Now we turn later into the Gospels and we see the Lord Jesus Christ has died on the cross of Calvary. And now he's being taken to the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. And as he's being taken to that tomb, there is a man accompanying that processional. And his name is Nicodemus. And I believe that is testimony of the fact that Nicodemus, by faith, had chosen Jesus Christ as his Savior. My friend, has there been a day in your life when you realized that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, that you were a sinner who could not save himself, and that you prayed and asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart and save you? If you have made that decision, it is the most important decision you ever made in your life. You must be born again, Jesus said. He didn't suggest it. He mandated it. You must be born again. And may I say, if you have made that decision, it will be a revealed decision. That is, you'll know when someone is saved. I don't believe any of us have the right to judge someone else as it pertains to their salvation. But let me simply say this. When someone accepts Christ as Savior, I do believe biblically there will be fruit evidenced from that decision. Their life will have some change wrought about by the Holy Spirit of God. How much and when is between them and God. But there is no question that there will be the presence of the Holy Spirit who convicts and who changes and leads us into sanctification. The Bible says in 1 John 2:28, "And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. If ye know that He is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of Him." My friend, if there's something I do that is right and pleasing to God, it's not me doing it, it's His Spirit doing it through me. There's nothing good in Paul Chapel, there's nothing good in you, other than the presence of the Holy Spirit of God who will bring fruit and who will bring righteousness. And when someone is saved, it's going to be revealed in the way that they live. Lauren McCain was one of the students killed at Virginia Tech back in 2007. April 16th, 2007, this young lady from Shawnee, Oklahoma, was indiscriminately shot by a gunman as he went into Virginia Tech. They began to try to put the pieces of the puzzle together, much like they're doing with this Islamic terrorist who shot so many people at Fort Hood. And they try to figure out, was this done? Were these people known of the man, or were they known of one another? And they began to try to put the pieces together, and they went to the personal webpage of Lauren McCain. And in their attempt to understand her and if she was connected to the gunman, they looked on her personal webpage. And she had at the top of her webpage these words: "The purpose and love of my life is Jesus Christ. I don't have to argue religion, philosophy, or historical evidence because I know Him." The decision that she had made for Christ was revealed in her life. It was revealed on her webpage. And I ask you, my friend, with all due respect, if someone visited your webpage tomorrow, would it look like the average unregenerate man telling merely the minor, unnecessary, mundane things about food and places you like to go? And would it perhaps even resemble some of the carnal side of those who speak in ways they should not speak? Would your webpage even mention the name of Jesus Christ? Because if you're a believer living a sanctified life, there shouldn't be much time elapse when you talk with someone else before they figure out you are a servant of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. America is going to hell in a handbasket because of undercover Christians who are just a little too ashamed to be too vocal about it. But I say to you that someone that is saved, they are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There may be those in this room, like those mentioned in the book of Jude, who are going to simply remove themselves someday, maybe quietly, maybe friendly-like, maybe not, and remove themselves away and say, you know, I just don't know if I can take the doctrine, like the disciples in John chapter 6, who said to Jesus Christ when He preached that He was the bread of life, and they said, this is an hard saying, who can take it? My friend, if they would walk away on Jesus Christ, they'll be walking away from other churches. Why? Because it's called the apostasy. But if you are the disciple of Jesus Christ, then in light of the fact that He's coming again, my friend, today would be a good day to start living for Him. Amen. Today would be a good day to start saying, you know what? In light of the fact He's coming again, I want to live my life with more steadfastness, with more sanctification, and surely I want to know that I'm saved and ready for that day. I leave you with the words of Jesus, Revelation 22, 7. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Father in heaven, we thank you that you are coming again. We pray this morning, Lord, that as we consider your coming, Lord Jesus, we pray that our lives would not remain the same stagnant way that perhaps they've been, but that you would stir us up.
Friend, you've been listening to Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California. On today's edition of Daily in the Word, he's been teaching through a series entitled Times Are Changing. We're studying present-day events, but holding those events up under the lens of Bible prophecy. We're understanding God's sovereignty and God's promises anew and afresh. I'm so excited to tell you that Dr. Chappell has a brand new book that's just come off the press, that's based on this series, and it contains so much more information than was able to be contained in the teaching and preaching series. The book is entitled Understanding the Times, Living Courageously in Prophetic Days. If you are a Christian, this book will help you understand what's happening in the world around us and how the Bible sheds light and gives you promise and confidence to live courageously. If you know someone that's not a Christian, this book will help them understand the gospel in the light of present-day events and in the light of prophecy. It's a powerful tool for witnessing to others and sharing Christ. It's a powerful tool for growing in God's grace and developing the courage and strength to press forward no matter what you see in today's news headlines. I want to encourage you to give us a call or write to us and let us send you a copy of Understanding the Times. The easiest way to receive your copy of Understanding the Times is visit us at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. You can also call us toll-free, 1-800-201-7748. Again, that's 1-800-201-7748. Finally, you can write to us at Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Your purchase of a copy of Understanding the Times is not only an investment into your own life or to the life of a friend spiritually, it's also an investment into Daily in the Word. Your gift to our ministry helps us continue broadcasting on this station and continue purchasing airtime on hundreds of stations across the country. So be sure to give us. Well, thank you, Pastor. And friend, thank you for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. You can find out more about this broadcast ministry. You can listen to today's broadcast or recent broadcasts, or you can request your copy of Understanding the Times when you visit us at dailyintheword.org. That's dailyintheword.org. Thanks again for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.